It's not, I didn't need to tell you guys, it's not easy being a Christian in the city. And it's not just that, like everyone else, we have to, you know, there's this driven, high pressure, high stakes, high demand, overworking, competitive thing that is the square mile. I guess as Christians, we're also acutely aware that we're a minority. Our values and our outlook, when we have the headspace to remember them, are often at times quite at odds with those of the people and the culture around us. And so we ask the question, well, how can we live for God and make a difference for him when the context we find ourselves is tough enough on its own without then adding this clash of worldviews, this clash of values that we experience? And I guess the reason why Jeremy's got us going through 1 Peter is because it's a letter written to help Christians going through just that setting. You know, these first century Christians were scattered in small pockets all over northern Turkey in various cities. They were in small groups, and they were deeply at odds with their culture, and some of them in very tough personal circumstances as slaves or whatever. So here we have 1 Peter, a letter for them, but a letter for us too. And if you can turn to page 1150, I'm just going to read the next chunk that Jeremy's given us. 1151. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I'll start reading from verse 22. Now that you Christians have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. There's a huge amount in those verses. I'm going to draw out 1 fact and 2 instructions that I hope are helpful. The fact is that as Christians, you and I are going to live forever. We are going to live forever because we've been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of an imperishable seed through the living and enduring word of God. God's put his eternal word into us to give us a new life that is as eternal as the word that gave us birth. And what that means is that whatever's going on, whatever the pressures, whatever the boss is like, whatever hostile forces we may feel we're up against in the city, we're going to outlast them. You will last longer than them by some miles. That Bank of England building will be eroded away and you will still be going strong. The way Peter puts it is to say, look, whatever the big guns are, they're like flowers in the desert. They're striking. But fundamentally, they're not going to last. They're waiting to shrivel up in the heat and the winds of time. They have no long-term future, whereas you and I in Christ are going to spend all eternity going from strength to strength, from glory to glory. Why? Because God has taken his eternal gospel and put it in each one of us so that we can live eternally through it. Jesus' glory and the things and the lives that glorify him are going to last forever. So the kind of this life is all I've got, YOLO, I'm going to increase my money, my glory, my career, my fame, and I don't care who I have to trample on to get it. That kind of attitude that's out there, well, in the light of eternity in the kingdom, that is going to look very, very dated. When love lasts for eternity, selfishness is going to look a bit like the way we see the mullet or medallion man, you know, the hairy chest, the under... some of you may have been medallion man. If that was you in your past, I'm sorry. I don't mean to offend. We are going to live for eternity with these good and glorious values of Jesus Christ. So what? 2 instructions. First, instead of being isolated from each other as Christians and in our sort of little silos, let's love each other. Verse 22, love one another deeply from the heart. We're saved by this life-giving God of love to belong to him and to belong to each other. So we can help each other get through these tough city days we can get to know each other at these socials, mentioned in the notices, but whether we know each other well or not, and it is tough with this kind of coming and going that we've got to do in this lunch break, we can love each other deeply by praying for each other. What are you doing when you go past that door? Is it something like, as your head gets in, back into the zone for the next meeting or whatever, is, Lord, please help me? Well, what if it was, Lord, please help us? 70 people, all praying for 70 people. Lord, please help us. Let's love each other. You know, we will spend all eternity with each other. You know, don't worry, the person you don't like, they'll be better. And you'll be better. Yeah? But we're going to spend all eternity in relationships of love and loving support. So why don't we start eternity now? Lord, help us. Second then, instead of kind of feeling like we just have to survive or being beaten down by the world out there, Peter says grow. Growth is possible, even in the midst of persecution. Verse 2 of chapter 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Peter says, live with heaven's values now. Get rid of the stuff that breaks loving relationships like deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander. But instead he says, go hard after God. He's given us new birth in Christ, yes, but he doesn't just then start something and leave us to get on with it. He says, I've got milk for you every day to keep you going every day, to keep you growing every day into Christlikeness. He wants to give us each day the strength we need for him. So where did we start? It's hard to be a Christian in the city, but we can keep going when we remember we're going to outlive it. You know, Jesus loved us enough, he died for us so we would live forever. So we are going to live forever. It can be hard in the city, but we're not alone. Let's have each other's backs in love, in prayer. And it's hard in the city, but God does have the sustenance you and I need for today and for every day. And the reason why we know that is because if we're Christians at all, as he puts it, we have tasted that our Lord is good. We know it. Let's depend on him to be it. Amen.